Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Name 889 is Ananta Bhuta Bhug Bhukta. That's quite a long name. We don't expect anyone to give a newly born son the name Ananta Bhuta Bhug Bhukta. It's four words combined into one, and most of the commentators don't treat this as one name. They divide it up. But Sri Parashara Bhatta takes it as one name, and we'll go through this, and then we'll see how other commentators deal with these four words. Huta Bhug is taken by all the commentators as one compound word. Huta Bhug Vibhu just came six names ago, at name 883. Remember that Parashar Bhatta and Baladev Vidyabhushan, they both are treating this series of names in terms of the devotee who goes through the Acharardhi Marga on the way back to Godhead. He goes from one stage of the universe, higher, 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 like that. Just like we see the description, well, it's not exactly analogous. Dhruva Maharaj going on the Vaikuntha airplane back to Godhead, he saw all the different planets. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada described that sometimes a devotee going back to Godhead, he has the curiosity to see all the different planets. That could be dangerous also, because when you see the different planets, you might think, well, maybe I should just stop here for a little time. Indraloka looks pretty good. I'll just stop here and go on to Vaikuntha later, and then you're stuck. You're in Maya again. But for those who wish to, or those who are following the path of yoga, mystic yoga, in order to, devotional yoga, to go back to Godhead, they go by this path. Srila Prabhupada described that a devotee who's ready for going back to Godhead, for him death is, the experience of death, it's nothing horrible, it's just like for him, he goes to sleep and when he wakes up he's with Krishna. So it's not that everyone going back to Godhead goes on this Acharardhi Marga, but it is described in Shastra, and this series of names in Vishnu Sahasranam is being mapped onto that by Parashar Bhatta, first of all, and then later Baladev Vidyabhushan did also. Parashar Bhatta describes that here, Ananta, which means unlimited, that describes both Indra and Brahma. They're of immeasurable greatness. That means by us. They're not actually Ananta. They're not actually Indra or Brahma, because all qualities come from Krishna. But from our perspective, the position of Indra and Brahma is one of immeasurable greatness. So Indra is considered by Parashar Bhatta here to be Huta Bhug. He's the consumer of the offerings through fire in the sacrifices. That means that, although ultimately Krishna is the enjoyer and the consumer of all offerings, but Indra, the sacrifices, they may be offered to various demigods, but principally to Indra. And therefore, and of course, Parashar Bhatta, he quotes here from the Shastra to substantiate his position, Sa Indra Lokam, Sa Prajapati Lokam. This is from Kaushitaki Upanishad, part of the Shruti. So Huta Bhug, Parashar Bhatta says this is Indra, and Bhukta, here he takes his name to mean Brahma, not in terms of Bhukta, meaning the consumer or the enjoyer. That's already there with Huta Bhug. Bhog, Bhokta, they both come from the same root, but Bhokta can also mean, Parashabhata states, Praja, Bhunakti Palayati Iti Prajapati Bhokta. Brahma is the one who sustains and protects the process of creation and so on, and therefore he's called Bhokta. So they, Indra and Brahma, are endowed with tremendous abilities by Bhagavan himself, and they take the mystic yogi on the path back to Godhead. They take him through certain stages under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is called Ananta Hutabhug Vibhu. It's Vishnu who's ultimately doing all this, but through the agency of various demigods. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he takes this Ananta Hutabhug Vibhu as Ananta as one name, and Hutabhug Bhokta as another name, and he gives a similar understanding as Parashabhata did, but again with a somewhat different analysis. Baladev Vidyabhushan says he, Vishnu, is the one na antati. He does not make any barrier that may hinder the devotee's movement on the path back to Godhead, but rather he makes his devotee be brought with vidyut, lightning. Therefore, he is Hutabhug Bhokta. He protects the devotee coming into his abode with the assistance of the enjoyers of oblations, Huta, that turn the oblations in the fire into nectar. Nectar, amrita, can mean the kind of drink that the demigods drink, which confers on them amritatvam, or the condition of being immortal. Of course, here, immortal is used in the context of this material world, which is called Matyaloka, the place of death. The demigods are called amara, those who do not die. It's a euphemistic statement, just like calling amrita or amritatvam the condition of deathlessness of the demigods. It's not an entirely accurate statement, but it relatively, it seems like that, in relation to the condition of humans in this world, whose life is very short compared to those of the demigods in the heavenly planets. And what to speak, kim uta. What to speak, kim uta. It's a common phrase we find in Bhagavatam and so many places. What to speak of Brahma, whose lifespan is much, much longer than even the demigods in the heavenly worlds. So, since Lord Hari is the origin of everything, the demigods from Archi to Vidyut, Varuna, Indra, Prajapati, Brahma, they're all amanava. They're beyond the, they're not humans in the ordinary sense of humans. But Hari is the origin of everything. These demigods who help the devotee going back to Godhead on the path, they help him along. They do so by his grace. They're dependent on him, and therefore it is quite applicable to say that he is the cause in all of these steps. As Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Taishamaham Samudharta Mrityu Sangsaga Sagarat Bhavami Nachirat Parta Maya Veshita Chetasam. Those whose minds are absorbed in me, I quickly become the deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. And there are various statements in this regard in Sanskrit. I'll skip the Sanskrit and just say he is the protector of the devotee who has been escorted by the Amanava Purushas, the living beings who are non-human. In this case, it means Atimanav, superhuman. through Indraloka and so on. Now we're coming to the final, now we're in discussing this Archirardhi Marga. We're coming to the final stages before the devotee reaches the spiritual world, escorted by Varuna, Indra, and Prajapati. Prajapati here meaning Brahma. We find in Srila Prabhupada's purport to this, which I just read from Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Aham Samudharata Mrityu Sangsara Sagarat. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Varaha Purana, Nayami Paramam Sthanam Achir Adi Gatim Vina Garuda Skandham Aropya Yatecham Anivaritaha. Hear this, Achir Adi Gatim Vina. Krishna says, without going through that Achiradi Gati, or Achir, the path of that goes from Archi and on and on and up. Nayami, I bring Paramam Sthanam to the Supreme Abode without going through the Archir. Archir Adi Gating Vina, Garuda Skandam Aropya, sitting on the shoulders of Garuda, I take them all the way. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. Those who do Ashtanga Yoga, they have to go through this Achiradi Marga. But Srila Prabhupada writes, following from the text of Varaha Purana, which is in accord with this statement of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes, the responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord Himself. He clearly states here that He Himself becomes the deliverer. He Himself becomes the deliverer, not through the agency of various demigods. Continuing, a child is completely cared for by his parents and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by His great mercy, comes at once riding on His bird carrier Garuda and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. Krishnadatta Bharadvaj, another commentator, also treats Anantahuta Bhog Bhokta as one name, but he analyzes it in two parts. Na anta yasya iti ananta. Ananta means him for whom there is no end. And huta bhuja pavakena bhunte iti huta bhukta. One who consumes the offerings of oblations and the sacrifices through fire is huta bhug bhukta. And therefore he treats it as one name, but kind of, because he says he is endless. In his numbering system, he takes it as one name, but he treats it almost as two names, saying he is endless, he is Ananta, and who consumes the offerings through fire. Now, other interpreters of this name, some of them take it as three names, Ananta, Huta Bhug, and Bhukta. Shankaracharya is the first one who does this. Ananta occurs as name 665 in Parasha Bhatta's interpretation, and the name Bhukta in the way Parasha Bhatta is analyzing it, which is also the way I'm doing, that I'm following, first of all, his gloss on Vishnu Sahasranam, and then bringing in others. So he has analyzed the name Bhukta in names 145 and 502. But anyway, let's look again at Ananta. We've already been through the name Ananta. Vishnu has 1,000 names and unlimited names. Ananta means endless because anta means end. And Ananta means without an end. It means one who is unlimited, endless. Na antam yasya sa ananta. One who has no anta, no end, is called Ananta. So, yeah, already discussed this, and we've discussed already in Vishnu Sahasranam other names, Anantajit, Anantatma, and upcoming is Ananta Rupa, Ananta Sri. But apart from what we've already discussed, Shankaracharya here gives another understanding of the name Ananta. He is in the form of Adi Shesha, who is also called Ananta. We have in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shankaracharya didn't quote this, I'm fluffing out what Shankara has said here. The commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam, they're mostly very brief in what they give. I'm in my treatment of it, I'm, like I say, fluffing it out. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 19, Srila Prabhupada's commentary, Srila Prabhupada's translation, sorry. Or the verse, Yonanta Shakti Bhagavan Ananto Mahadgurat Vad Yam Anantam Ahuhu. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta, the unlimited. So Ananta can mean endless, that means he's endless, he's eternal, but it also means his glories have no end, or his potencies have no end. So it means he's limitless in all respects. He and his capabilities, his abilities are unlimited. He cannot be measured or determined in space or time. You can't pin him down and completely define him, because he's beyond all boundaries, any material boundaries, beyond time, he's beyond space. He can't be tied up or bound or stuck in a box. Of course, Mother Yashoda ties him up, and that's what makes Krishna Lila so wonderful. But no one can precisely define him in a, what we now like to call a scientific way. And that's why Mother Yashoda loves him so much. She's not trying to define him, she's just trying to love him, that's all. But the point is that God is much greater than we can even imagine him to be. Some people think that, well, we're Christians and we're the only ones who know God, or we're Muslims and we're the only ones who know God, or we're Hare Krishna devotees and we're the only ones who know God. But he's not confined to one belief system. It's not that you can stick him in a box and we've got God and we only have the key. It's a unidimensional view of God who has unlimited dimensions. Materialists, we're stuck in a time-space imagination, Trividha Sima. Yamuna Acharya refers to this. We're stuck in the confines of our own understanding. He's beyond that, beyond that. The Vedas, they give us knowledge of that which is beyond our immediate perceptory abilities. But even the Vedas themselves, having worshipped and glorified the Supreme Lord to the best of their ability, at the end of all of this, they spoke an I'm quoting from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book here. It's quite a long passage, what the Vedas say about Krishna being unlimited. They say, glorifying Krishna, because you are unlimited, anantataya, neither the lords of heaven nor even you yourself can ever reach the end of your glories. Dear Lord, although Lord Brahma, the predominating deity of the highest planet, Brahmaloka, and King Indra, the predominating demigod of the heavenly planets, as well as the predominating deities of such planets as the sun and the moon, are all very confidential directors of this material world. They have very little knowledge about you. Then, what can ordinary human beings and mental speculators know of you? It is not possible for anyone to enumerate the unlimited transcendental qualities of your lordship. No one, not even the mental speculators and the demigods in higher planetary systems, is actually able to estimate the length and breadth of your form and characteristics. Remember, this is all unpacking what it means to be Ananta, continuing what the Vedas say. We think that even your lordship does not have complete knowledge of your transcendental qualities. The reason is that you are unlimited. Although it is not befitting to say that you do not know yourself, it is practical to understand that because you have unlimited qualities and energies, and because your knowledge is also unlimited, there is unlimited competition between your knowledge and your expansion of energies. Can you understand that? It's mind-boggling. The Supreme Lord has unlimited qualities and he has unlimited knowledge. So if he's unlimited knowledge, he should understand his unlimited qualities. But because his qualities are unlimited, there's an unlimited competition between his knowledge and his expansion of energies. Within his Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada elucidates the ideas here by saying that the idea is that because God and his knowledge are both unlimited, as soon as God is cognizant of some of his energies, he perceives that he has still more energies. In this way, both his energies and his knowledge increase. Because both of them are unlimited, there is no end to the energies and no end to the knowledge with which to understand the energies. God is undoubtedly omniscient, but the personified Vedas say that even God himself does not know the full extent of his energies. So what's going on here is the Vedas, they're describing the qualities of God, finding themselves incompetent to do so. They just say he's unlimited, and even he himself cannot describe. But still, as the Vedas, it is their duty to describe him for the benefit of all of us in this material world, as well as they can. So God himself does not know the full extent of his energies. That means he doesn't know something? No, Srila Prabhupada continues. This does not mean that God is not omniscient. When an actual fact is unknown to a certain person, this is called ignorance or lack of knowledge. This is not applicable to God, however, because he knows himself perfectly. But still, as his energies and activities increase, he also increases his knowledge to understand them. That means his knowledge is always just slightly behind his expansion of energies. Both are increasing unlimitedly, and there is no end to it. In that sense, it can be said that even God himself does not know the limit of his energies and qualities. How God is unlimited in his expansion of energies and activities can be roughly calculated by any sane and sober living entity. It is said in the Vedic literature that innumerable universes issue forth when Mahavishnu exhales in his yoga nidra, and that innumerable universes enter into his body when he inhales. We have to imagine, or try to hear, imagine means we have to try to conceive within our mind, that these universes, which according to our limited knowledge are expanded unlimitedly, are so great that the gross and subtle ingredients, the five elements of the cosmic manifestation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, along with the total material energy and false ego, are not only within the universe, but cover the universe in 7 layers. Try to imagine. Each layer 10 times bigger than the previous one. In this way, each and every universe is very securely packed, and there are numberless universes. All these universes float within the innumerable pores of the transcendental body of Mahavishnu. It is stated that just as the atoms and particles of dust are floating within the air along with the birds, and their number cannot be calculated, so innumerable universes are floating within the pores of the transcendental body of the Lord. For this reason, the Vedas say that God is beyond the grasp of our knowledge. Avang Manasa Gochara. To understand the length and breadth of God is beyond the jurisdiction of our mental speculation. This is theology. First-class theology. 2 lines from a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Shuno he Rasikajan, Krishna gunaganan, Ananta kahite nahi pare. Listen, O connoisseurs. The lizard is listening. The qualities of Krishna are countless and endless. I cannot say them all. Nevertheless, Shastra and the devotees, they take great pleasure in describing the qualities of Krishna as much as is possible. I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, Texts 26 to 30. I already read this out when going through the name Guna Brit. We had quite recently, and we'll very happily go through it all again. In him, Krishna, reside truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of others' unhappiness, the power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality, tolerance, equanimity, faithfulness, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible, Krishna, the discharge of proper duty, complete independence, dexterity, fullness of all beauty, serenity, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, magnanimity, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment. That's number 32. At number 15 we had absence of sense enjoyment. Very nice. All contradictions are resolved in him. More qualities, joyfulness, immovability, fidelity, fame, being worshipable, pridelessness, being the personality of Godhead, eternity, and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from him. That personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, is Lord Sri Krishna. From the purport to this verse given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, smash the earth into powder and count the atoms, still it would not be possible to even estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadev has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tongues, and that for numberless years together, it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is just to estimate his qualities as far as a human being is able to see them in him. So we're discussing the name Ananta here. In discussion of Ananta Huta Bhukta, we're going through the name Ananta in some detail. Ananta means unlimited, but Ananta is seemingly limited in that he cannot reach the end of his own qualities. Go figure. You won't be able to. So what do? We simply bow down at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, being very grateful to his devotees who have given us the opportunity to hear, chant about, and remember his divine lotus feet, which are unlimited. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namasrishtam manumapi satchipudramatra sarupam rupam tasyagajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhava sham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tamatarsya. Dante nitai chuna kangpa diyo nipatya kritva chakar kushatameta. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad guranga chandra charne kuta. Parivada sujano yatatata vadana mukuru narayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madhirama dadhi matta bhuvi vilukama natama nirvishama. Varha pirang natavarabhu karnayo karnikaram vibhradva sakaraka kapisham vajayanti himchamamam randhran veno adhara sude sudaya puran randhran veno adhara sudaya purayan gopa vrindayar vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi Shri Radha Yaf Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vana Yaiva Swadhyo Yena Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadhyya Sokhyang Chasya Madhanu Bhavata Kidrishang Veti Lobhat Tadbhavardhya Samajani Shachi Garba Sindho Harindu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.